Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The Bert Show.
You guys ready to be shocked? Shocked.
Ooh.
Shocked. Shocked, I say.
That doesn't really sound prepared.
Ooh.
Ready. Ooh, spooky.
Mo and Abby, let me ask you this question because you are the single folk on the show. So if you are set up on a date, first date, right? In this case, I'm going to tell you about it. It's a blind date, but let's just say it's any date. First date. And they show up with somebody to said date. Immediately, your reaction is what? If it's one other person.
Immediately, I'm like, who are you? Who are you and why are you here? To the other person.
I would do the same thing. I would want to know who the person is and what you do.
But you'd still be open to stay and hang out?
Probably not.
No.
Not if you surprised me with it, no.
Yeah, I would. Well, this actually did happen to me because remember I went on that 2-on-1 date? And I got scammed into having to be on a double date with my friend.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess in this situation, I would probably just go along with it.
Okay.
Although maybe I would have learned my lesson and said, get out of here.
What if the first date showed up with two other people? So it's not just you and her or you and him. Now it's two of their friends.
There was a 0% chance I was staying when they brought one. Now it's negative 50.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm out of here. I'm out of here.
Gone. It's weird.
It's weird.
Yeah.
Well, on this first date, she brought 23 family members.
Stop this.
23?
Yeah, you ready for this? So it's a Chinese man, ends up at a restaurant, goes out on a date with a woman that was set up through a chaperone, right? So their first date was set up at a restaurant that they both went to a lot. So he's sitting there and he's waiting for her and she shows up, right? And when she does, she brings 23 family members with her. 23 family members. All right, so he is a little on the shook side. He just thought it was going to be him and her. He brought the whole family.
It came straight from the family reunion.
I would think it was a joke.
Now, I don't know if this is a cultural difference. I don't know how chaperones work in China, but she shows up with all of them, 23. So they are escorted back into a private room where her relatives are just ordering like the most expensive liquor and they're ordering all these expensive cigarettes and stuff. And dude is starting to sketch out like, how much is this going to end up costing? Me, right? So after the night that they had their quote unquote date, right? They come with the bill and it was 20,000 yen, which is about $3,000.
Oh my
God. Wow.
Dude doesn't have enough money to spend on this. He freaks out. What does he do? He leaves. Sticks her with the bill.
As he should have.
As he should, right?
Yeah, ain't nothing wrong with that.
No.
Well, after he takes off, she tracks him down and she goes, look, I understand you're a little shook up by all of my family members. 23 might have been a lot. So will you at least pay half of it? And he said, oh, hell no. I don't know what the Mandarin phrase for that is, but it's, oh, hell no. And that's universal. So he's like, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll give you about $560 of that $3,000. She's like, not good enough. And her family members got really, really pissed about it.
The nerve.
They sued him.
What?
What? They sued him. They what? Sued him. They wanted half or they wanted him to pay for the entire bill. So it actually goes to court in China. And she loses. And the only thing the judge says is, all you got to do is pay for your own meal, dude. Lady, you're on the hook for everything else.
Legal fees are going to cost more than the dinner.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, he should countersue.
100%. Yes. All right, so do people really mean when they say, hey, I'm having a party, do not bring gifts, don't bring gifts? Do they really mean that? Email we got saying they're not really sure anymore.
We were invited to a friend's birthday party organized by her husband at a fancy restaurant. The invitations explicitly stated, no gifts, please. Just bring your warm and pleasant company. So we respected the request and arrived at the party without any presents. However, nearly half of the guests showed up with gifts for the birthday girl. She seemed delighted by the unexpected presents, and no one mentioned that gifts were unnecessary. This has left us feeling embarrassed and unsure about the whole situation. We genuinely would have brought something for our friend if we had known others would be doing so.
Sorry.
Don't mess with the schedule while I'm actively reading. Adding to our confusion, our friend has been acting differently towards me since the party and hasn't returned my post-birthday call, which is unlike her. Now I find myself questioning and stop writing things inappropriate.
Claire.
Now I find myself questioning whether people truly mean it when they say no gifts, please, or if it's just a polite gesture. How are we supposed to know the right course of action in situations like this? Do we unintentionally offend our friend? Did we unintentionally offend our friend by not bringing a gift? We would greatly appreciate your thoughts and advice. Behind the scene, we have a schedule that we can actively, in the moment, update. And right now, what I'm looking at is what Bert has written.
What?
And
how do you know it was me?
Because it had your little B next to it.
Oh.
And it says, you suck at radio.
That's pretty
and
large font,
all
too.
Caps, mad font, and highlighted in yellow.
I'm sorry, I thought that was just in my head.
No, that was out loud on the schedule.
Did you catch me at the end when you were at the end of it?
Yeah, you were messing with me too.
I started spacing it down so she would have to chase the words.
You all know I don't feel good today, right?
Well, that's why.
You're messing with the wounded badger as it is.
That's where it's most fun.
Okay.
When you can't fight back. All right, so does it really mean, look, don't bring a gift? Is that what it really means, or do you bring a gift anyway?
I mean, we did this for Jimmy's birthday party. We wanted donations, and people did bring donations, but there were some people who still brought gifts for Jimmy.
Right.
But I'm not going to treat anybody differently if they didn't bring a gift and, like, not return phone calls.
But it's the people that show up without a gift that now feel awkward when others do and they brought a gift.
Yeah, because everyone shows up thinking, well, I'm going to be extra nice and I'm going to bring her a little gift and it's going to be great. This actually happened to me at a bridal shower where it was one of those where you're just supposed to bring like a bottle of wine. It's called stock the bar.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, I'll bring her a nice bottle of wine. It'll be great. No, that's not what happens. I'm the only person who brought a bottle of wine, and then she spent like an hour and a half opening gifts in front of everyone. And I'm like, when it comes to me, it's gonna be awkward.
Yeah, I always lean towards bring a gift, even if they say no, because I just feel like people will say that, but they don't always mean it. And I learned that lesson when my mom told us one year that she didn't want anything for her birthday because she had everything, and we didn't get her anything, and she is to this day pissed that we didn't get her anything.
Is that right?
To this day, and I'm like, you said don't get you anything, but in her mind, that was like, I just want to see what the effort would be if I said it. That never made sense to me, but I got the lesson. So for me, I always lean towards just get something.
Is the safe bet to bring something and then make a game time decision, like something you could put in a pocket
or a purse,
right? And then when you get to the party, if everybody else brought something, you have something and it's a game time decision?
That's smart.
I'm the person that would bring something, but it's going to be smaller than what I would have brought. So it'll be something. It won't be elaborate, but it'll be a little something.
Don't come in empty-handed because you're going to end up being the awkward person. Because somebody inevitably is going to bring something.
Have a backup plan.
But I think it's really crappy of them to put that like explicitly on the invitation, no gifts. And then when they actually follow the rules and then you're not returning phone calls, you're a D-bag.
Hey, The Bert Show.
As a parent, it was a terrifying 8 hours yesterday as my 16-year-old son was being driven around hanging out with another 16-year-old driver. I was checking their location every 4 minutes. I was so nervous. So here's how it works in our state, where you get your license.
I was going to ask.
Yeah. Now, he has his license, he doesn't have his license yet. I'm sorry. He has his learning permit now, so I'm teaching him how to drive. So obviously, he can't drive with anybody in a car except me right now as I'm teaching him. But the law is that if you're 16 years old or older and you've had your license longer than 6 months, you can drive with one other person in the car that's not a family member.
Really?
Yes.
Fascinating.
So his friend Ben has his license and got it like back in September or something like that. And now it's summer. They have nothing to do. So Ben came over yesterday and they were gone for 8 hours. I seriously was checking online every 4 or 5 minutes. Just not, I knew they were going exactly where they told me they were going. It's just making sure they are getting there without an accident, because a 16-year-old, even my 16-year-old has said, as I'm teaching him how to drive, Dad, they need to change the laws in America. 16-year-olds should not be able to drive.
I honestly think the same thing.
Seriously, man. So when they leave with another 16-year-old in the car, it's terrifying. And they were gone yesterday from 2 to 10 o'clock last night. But damn if I wasn't tracking them. Now, the next terrifying thing, I can't even imagine this, starts to break my heart a little bit, is watching him drive off for the first time alone in his car, which inevitably is going to happen.
Mm. Yeah, I remember my dad telling me that was probably like top five scariest moments of his life. Just knowing that I was going to be driving every day.
Yes.
That was rough.
That's a pit in my stomach.
Yes. And that's now I understand why my parents used to say, we will stay up until you get home. I don't care what time it is, we will stay up. They never did, but they at least said that.
Oh, mine did.
You did that?
Oh, my God, absolutely.
Did they give you the check as soon as you came in, look in your eyes? You're high, aren't you?
No, it was just, I wasn't allowed to get my license until I was 17 because I was not proficient at driving, to say the least.
Oh, no.
And I was so upset. Like, I was so, I really, like, my goal was to get it before I turned 17. Like, okay, so, yeah, I got my permit. I had it the entire time I was 16, but I was like, all right, so I had it for a whole other additional year, my permit. I'm like, I just wanted to get it before I turned 17, and it didn't happen.
No. My dad's like, no way.
Yeah. Some of my fondest memories are my dad trying to teach me how to drive, and us getting so heated that we walked back in the house after a training sesh. Neither one of us speaking. I went directly to my room, and my mom was like, I don't even think I want to ask what happened.
It is so stressful. And then, Mo, I'm sorry to interrupt you. It's one of the most stressful things I've ever done as a parent, is teach a kid how to drive. I mean, literally, he's white-knuckling it. I'm white-knuckling it. With every turn, you're trying to, like, in your head to, like, you don't want to, like, you're nervous inside. Like, and when you're nervous, you almost want to talk too loud. And I have been very good at taking breaths and just, I'm very proud of the way that I've handled it and just been sort of guiding him and not yelling at him. Cause my dad used to scare the ass out of me, you know, and just like call me a what are you doing? And while you're driving for the first or second time, it's terrifying, right?
It is, yeah.
So I understand where your dad was coming from.
Oh, well, I almost sideswiped somebody. So, because I didn't look to change lanes, I was like, oh, there's Wilson Downing. I need to take a ride on Wilson Downing to get back to the house. And so I just was like, well, I need to get in the lane. And there was another car there. And of course, dad grabs the wheel and he's like, what are you doing? And so then I need to get over, but I was so scared to get over and I couldn't. We just kept driving straight for the longest time.
Hollis and I did that the other day. So we've been working out together every day since he's on summer break, right? And when we pull out into the main road out of our subdivision, cars are hauling ass, right? Yeah. And he has to quickly get over into the left lane to make a U-turn. And he missed two different U-turns. And by the time he missed the second one, we were closer to a different LA Fitness than we were going to. So I'm just like, go straight, bro. Just go straight.
Oh, I forgot what I was going to say. I completely forgot. I hadn't thought.
I will say this, and I will not confirm or deny that with my first son, when I was teaching him how to drive, that maybe or maybe not, I was taking CBD before I got into that car just to relax me a little bit.
Did that help?
I will not confirm or deny it.
Okay.
Yeah, we're supposed to be doing entertainment.
I'm confused.
That's all of our time.
Hey.
The Burt Show.
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
I forgot where we were.
We're doing entertainment buzz.
I was like, where's my theme song?
That was my short story going into the entertainment buzz.
Got it. Okay, the internet is coming after Justin Bieber's dad after he made some comments about Pride Month. Mm. He tweeted, quote, "Don't forget to thank a straight person this month for your existence with a rainbow flag behind it."
Hey, come on, bruh.
Yeah. Wow. This also comes after he tweeted, "We need to celebrate families. The things this generation glorifies is unbelievable." People were very quick to point out the fact that he has 4 children with 3 different women. So they're like, who are you to talk about families? Obviously, super offensive to the LGBTQ+ community.
Yeah, not to mention... He's not even using any common sense. You can have a family if you are a gay couple.
Exactly. Okay.
Yeah.
No, you can. I mean, and it's so offensive to anybody who had to go the extra mile. If you're an LGBTQ+ family, if you had to get a surrogate, if you had to go through like the IVF process. I mean, it's just so like, it's so ignorant. And of course, people are roasting him. Most people are hitting him with the deadbeat dad comments like, don't forget to thank your sons for paying your bills this month.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. And they've also coined my new favorite phrase, Nepo Daddy.
So, Nepo Daddy.
So I got into this conversation. My son and I went on a walk the other day and we both didn't have our AirPods in. Weird. So we were starting to talk about like real life things, and we were talking about religion and we were talking about Pride Month, and then it came up yesterday when I was talking to the dude that was cutting my hair also. And I don't want to get on a soapbox and all this, and you guys believe in what you believe, but it is Pride Month, and I did want to mention this, that I don't, and I've said this before on the show, I don't understand the hate.
I don't either.
And the vitriol. I think I said this a couple of months ago when that idiotic Bud Light boycott was happening, that I just don't understand where the hate is coming from. Like, I understand if you don't agree with it. I understand if you're concerned for somebody because based on the Bible and your beliefs that you can be concerned with somebody about it. My theory is this, is that God sorts everything out at the end, man. There is not. I am not going to say anything that God is not going to sort out at the end. And I am not saying this in a disrespectful way. I am not saying to the gay community, you're going to hell and God's going to sort it out. That's not what I'm saying at all. What I'm saying is, I don't think God put me on this earth to show hate to another person, to make them live their life a different way. And I just don't understand why you can't say, it's not for me, go do you, but at some point you're going to have to talk to God, and God's going to sort it out. I'm not speaking for God.
I've always felt like it was projection. Like, I think when people hate or have that kind of hate in them, it's something about themselves that they genuinely hate, but it's so much easier to just hate someone else for what you believe you hate them for as it is to look in the mirror and then actually evaluate what you hate about yourself.
I don't even know if you guys saw this yesterday on the news, this viral video that was going around, and I'm not sure of all the details on the story, but there was some California district that was trying to decide what can be taught and what can't be taught in their district as far as LGBTQ goes. And there were 2 different groups that were yelling at each other over it, and it broke out into a fight over it. A fight. Grown men and women fist fighting over this.
Yeah, the book ban thing has gotten to, like, the next level. And I another story, and I don't know all the details about it, but I know that in one school district, because of the book bans and, you know, of any books that have any kind of LGBTQ representation, didn't want them to be taught in the school. Well, somebody said, well, then if that's the case, I don't want the Bible available in the library because it has so much violence in it. Hmm. And they upheld it.
Is that right?
Yeah, they did.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just I feel like have gone from sort of, as a general rule, this society that could disagree with each other but still like hang out. And now it's like, not if I disagree with you, I have to hate you.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's a crappy place to be.
Exactly. 100%. Okay, 26 years after his death, Tupac was honored with a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. His sister was the one to accept the award, and it was so touching to see her get teared up and accepted on his behalf. It was just so heartwarming, like, to see her get so, like, choked up, and, like, you can see, like, the actual just how much she, like, loves and misses him.
He deserves it. It's beautiful. I don't know why it took this long.
That's what I was wondering.
I know. Well, he's only one of 12 rappers to even get this honor. It's like him, Queen Latifah, and Ice-T, and of course, you know, 9 other people. It's incredible. Tom Sandoval made some comments on the Vanderpump Rules finale about his and Ariana's sex life that's got women fired up. More on your next E-Buzz on The Burt Show.
I'm not a huge fan of spicy foods, but I do like a bit of spice in other areas of my life. Reality TV fights make it spicy. My margaritas make them very spicy. And when it comes to the spice cabinet you keep beside your bed, you gotta have a wide variety of spices to keep things heated up. If you've been looking for some more flavor to add to your life behind closed doors, Adam and Eve can help you bring the heat with some fun new items to turn up the temp between you and someone else, or if it's a single girl summer, there's plenty of options for those of you riding solo this year. Adam and Eve is offering 50% off just about any item, and they'll include free shipping and rush processing so you can spice things up ASAP. And you don't gotta worry about your neighbors noticing your delivery. Adam and Eve ships things out in discreet packaging, so you and Deborah down the street don't have to make awkward eye contact when you get your mail. Just go to adamandeve.com and select any one item and select, just enter offer code Abby at checkout. That's ABBY at adamandeve.com. This exclusive offer is specific to this podcast, so be sure to use code Abby to get your discount. Code Abby.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the must not take yourself too seriously and 6-1 since that matters. And what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble. With exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Hey, The Burt Show.
Gut doesn't lie. Their gut just doesn't lie. And Natalie thinks there's something going on with my husband here. He is just on his phone way too much. And then she gave us some details yesterday, Kristen. Kristen wasn't here yesterday and it's not feeling great today. Thank you for coming in.
You're welcome for spreading my germ.
We are banged up, man. Cassie's out today. Kristen here is like coughing up a lung every 6 minutes.
Yeah, at least I've learned to cover my mouth. So just make sure you guys use the hand sani. hand sani quite a bit today.
So Natalie hits us yesterday and she'll tell you here that she found an Instagram that she didn't even know that her husband had, and it seems shady right from the start. Hey, Natalie.
Hey, you guys. Thanks for talking to me.
Sure. I mean, I think we determined yesterday just from your email that whatever we find here, there's already shadiness going on. It's just the depth of shadiness, I think, that we're going in on, you know?
Yeah, I really hope it's level like 1 instead of like level 19, which is what I think.
Well, a finsta is a pretty big red flag.
Yeah, let's go through this whole thing. So, he's on his phone all the time, and that gave you the indication that something's just not right. And then go ahead and tell us exactly what you found already.
Yeah, so like I said in my email, like my husband and I have been married for 9 years. We got married when we were 21 because I was pregnant. I'm 30 now. And so is he, but we've like been making it work and I'm really proud of us. And so it's like been a road, you know, like being married is like never easy, but like lately I've noticed a change, which is that he's like been more addicted to his phone. And it's kind of different because he doesn't have a work email. Like he works with his hands. He's like, you know, like out in the field a lot, basically. And so like he's an electrician. So he's like, you know, out a lot. And like, so when he's home now, he's like texting and scrolling all the time. And like, he's never been big on social media, but it's like, it's the behavior that like, you know, I'm doing on my phone when I'm on Instagram. So like, you know, pot, kettle black, whatever. But like, I don't know, like I recently found out that he has an Instagram, and from the photos, like the dates, he's had it for over a year and I don't know anything about it.
Oh,
and like I look
okay.
at the followers and like, I don't know any of them. They're like, I don't like, they're people, they're not bots, but like, I don't know them. And there aren't that many. And then like who he follows, like he just follows like celebrities and like hot girls. So it's just kind of, I'm like, what is he doing on there? And like, is he chatting? Like, what is going on? So, yeah.
So he doesn't have a Finsta. Yeah. He just had a Instagram you were like unaware of.
Yeah, he just like has a straight up Instagram, which like, I guess on the surface, I'm like, he can have whatever social media accounts he wants. But it's not like it's like following me or like following our neighbors or like my mom or like his best friend. You know, it's like all people that I'm like, who is this?
All right, ready? Like, PSA for everybody out there who's in a relationship. If you did not have an Instagram prior to the relationship and you create one during the relationship, the first person you should follow is your significant other.
Right. Mm-hmm. It's probably smart.
Yeah. Follow your wife.
Right.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I would tag him in photos. Like, I post photos of him. It's like, yeah, babe. Like, I don't know. It's just, it's weird. It feels weird.
Yeah. You can follow her and then you can hide all of her posts and stories so she doesn't know that you're not looking. But yeah. But be smart about
cool.
it.
Text savvy.
Okay, Natalie. So we had a couple of red flags there yesterday. Like Kristen just mentioned, he's got an Insta. You don't know about it. He's got an Insta. He doesn't follow you or any friends, and he's got a whole bunch of models and stuff on there, and it just seems like randomness. And he's on the phone all the time. So you asked us to try to tempt him last night on Instagram, and who's going to take it from here?
I got it.
Abby.
So Kristen's friends sent him a DM on Wednesday evening. She said, "Hi there, ... No response. Then she said, "I came across your feed and liked what I saw, ... No response. Then she said again, "I wanted to introduce myself." And then she sent a hot pic. "I'm blank." And then she got no response, and then she was blocked.
Ooh.
She was out of there.
He's rude.
Okay.
Man, this guy, you are married to a very rude man.
He's rude but loyal.
Oh my gosh, you guys, it's such a relief. But I do feel better. I was like really scared of the opposite. Like as you were talking, I was like, oh no. But I still feel like what's going on. Like I guess I thought I would be more relieved, but I still feel a little bit
well,
strange.
Do the mature thing. Since he's not following you, slide into his DMs and be like, "Hey, this is your wife. Why aren't you following me?"
There's the mature answer.
Yeah.
I don't have any answers here.
I don't either.
Clearly he is not on it to have a back and forth or flirt with anybody. But the fact that he does have one you don't know about, he doesn't follow you, and he is following he's getting his kicks on one way or the other here.
Yeah, maybe he's fiercely loyal to some other chick that he's DMing, and he's like, no.
Why would you do that?
Yo, I've seen some stuff. I can't let her go thinking she's okay.
Ask him about it.
Yeah. Maybe
That's
I'll just
send
his DMs and be like, "Hey, cutie." Maybe I'll play it off and see what happens.
I would love to hear how he responds to that. Yes, please do and report back, okay?
If he blocks you,
I'm about to say he might block you.
Big issues, baby.
It's the Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
Kristen, your son Jimmy is now 2 years old. When is the last time he thanked you for anything? When's the last time he thanked you for driving him to one of those dance classes that you take him to? When's the last time he thanked you for feeding him? When is the last time he thanked you?
Yesterday.
He did?
Yeah.
What did he thank you for?
When I handed him his water, he goes, "Thank you, Mama."
Oh, damn.
Oh, that's really sweet.
It is.
Your kids are way better than mine.
I've made a point. I'm very big on manners. And so anytime we do something for him, I'm always say thank you. And so he's like, "Thank you."
Man, maybe I didn't teach that enough. Maybe other parents aren't teaching that enough either, because the parents I talk to most feel underappreciated.
Oh, I'm sure that we will go through that phase. But right now, it's adorable to hear that little toddler please and thank you.
So I'm really curious, if you have older kids than the very mature and polite Jimmy, do you demand that they show you appreciation, or what do you do when you don't feel appreciated? And I'm asking for a specific reason. 1-855-BIRD-SHOW.
Because forced gratitude and forced appreciation lacks the luster of just unsolicited gratitude and appreciation, because you want your kids to naturally appreciate what you do or things you have done. So when you have to ask for it, it's kind of like, what's the point?
So let me tell you a story that I heard from a friend of a friend about how they're handling this, okay? I'm assuming their kid is 14, 15 years old, never says thank you for everything, but their mom and dad is, typically driving him from this to that to this to that, making a making all sorts of accommodations, paying for his school, paying for this, paying for it. Same, right, as all parents, right? And they never get a thank you. Never get a thank you. So dad got frustrated with it and it's just had it. So every Friday now, he sits down, his 14 or 15-year-old, whatever it is, and shows him exactly how much time and how much money they have spent on their kid that week. Is it healthy or not? Because I know that I have thought about it. It's like, I wish they just knew, because at a certain age, they just don't know the value of money and value of time, right? But at some point, they do. Like at 15 or 14, they should. And if they're taking the rides for granted and the food for granted, which of course you're going to do as a parent, but never say thank you or don't show appreciation, I could see how a parent would get so frustrated that this is what I'm going to do.
But putting myself in the shoes of a 14 or 15-year-old, if my parent did this, it would make me feel some sort of way, like, why did you have me?
I didn't choose to be here.
Yeah, I didn't choose to be here. Like, why did you have me? Mm-hmm. Like, you have kids, you know, responsibilities come with kids. This is obviously a very advanced 15-year-old that we're talking about here, but like that might do irreparable damage to my relationship with my parents, and that I'm looked at more as a burden than a joy.
Well, in a lot of cases, that's the truth.
Well, you don't say it to the child, though. But I mean, like, if you do something above and beyond, like if you sign your child up for any kind of extracurricular activity, well, you did that as a parent. So part of the responsibility is if your kid can't drive, you're going to have to drive them to and from. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, the kid should appreciate it. But at the same, like, are you expecting?
It feels very transactional. And I think that you're like almost setting the tone of, our relationship is transactional. I love you, but this is what I'm doing for you all the time.
I feel like there's a line there, but I feel like sitting him down and like breaking down, it would make me feel lesser than as a child if you were doing that.
I just feel like it's the excessiveness of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because my dad did that in his own way. When he felt like it was necessary, he would remind us that everything that we had was due to him working very hard to get it. Like when it was, but to do it as routine, like every Friday, I don't see how as a kid you wouldn't feel like a burden in that situation.
That was my thought too. Like one time. Like, hey, I just want to show you over the course of the month what I spent one time. But doing it every Friday does seem a little excessive.
Yeah, I don't hate the intention behind it because I get it. Like, being a parent can sometimes feel like a thankless job, I'm sure. And so this is just sort of like a very, like, off-putting way of being like, please say thank you. So I think you really have to get to the root of, like, what do you really want from your child? And what I'm getting from this is that they just want them to be more, to show more gratitude. And if they're still a kid, you still have to teach them that. Sounds messed up, but you have to teach your kids how to show gratitude.
And I feel like as a parent, you need to do a little little looking in the mirror and try to understand why you need so much validation.
That's right.
Fair.
That is fair. I consider Jimmy the gold standard when it comes to toddlers. However,
he's pretty darn cute.
Carla here is going to one up Jimmy.
No, it's not about one upping.
Yes, it is.
Okay, fine.
Jimmy's about to lose. He's going to take his first loss here.
Go ahead. Get my baby boy's first out.
Hey, Carla. Good morning.
Good morning, guys. This is Carla. I agree with Kristen. I'm all about manners. Mm-hmm. I showed how to say thank you. Like, I say thank you for the most insignificant stuff. Like, even if my kid is in the back. Even if they do the smallest thing, I go, thank you. So my 1.5-year-old, one of her first words was, thank you.
Yes. One of the first words.
Yes.
Better than Jimmy.
Yeah, if that's the first word, you take the cake on that one.
Hey, Carla, thank you for calling.
My 6-year-old is also very polite. He says thank you for everything. So I just made sure I taught him that.
No, you did a great job. Tomorrow we're going to do a whole segment on that. What makes your toddler better than Jimmy?
The Burt Show.
All right, so what do you have in your life that's a little on the dramatic side? You're looking for advice from Burt Show fam. In this one, he's not sure he still wants to go out with her because he feels like she's been kind of inappropriate in past relationships. Mo here has the email.
My girlfriend and I have been together in a serious relationship for nearly 3 years. She recently took a trip to her hometown, against my wishes, which is okay, by the way, and met up with a married friend of hers who has been blatantly inappropriate via text on a few occasions. including 2 weeks before this trip. I had clearly expressed my discomfort with this friendship, but she went ahead and met with this inappropriate friend anyways. While she was gone, I was busy planning a proposal, ring shopping, venue, photography, the works. After I found out about their meeting, I am no longer sure if it's a wise idea to still propose. Her boundaries, or lack thereof, especially with people trying to be inappropriate, has been an occasional problem in our relationship. But this time, I feel really hurt because it feels like while I was here busy planning our future, she gave little regard to how I felt and our future together. I feel disrespected and my feelings not prioritized. We ended up sharing this with our therapist. We also thought it wasn't okay that she met up with this friend, especially given that he is married. But she seems to think there is nothing wrong with it. They met in a restaurant and he tried making a pass at her, but nothing happened. During our therapy session, I pleaded that if she truly didn't see a reason to block this person, would she at least do it for me? She agreed, but never did so. She hid the message from her chats and told me she had blocked him. When I found out she had lied, I was crushed. She said she planned to block him, but never got around to doing it. Why is this clearly no good friendship so important that it is worth jeopardizing our future for? She admits the guy isn't any great guy that adds any value to her life, but somehow it was so difficult to cut him loose. I insist there has to be a reason why, but she insists there's not. It's nothing deep, she says. I really love her, and we had been in a really good place these last few months, and I'd hate to lose her. But it is more important for me that I do what is wise rather than what I want. How do we build a marriage without trust? And what's to say that this will not happen again? Am I the insecure one? Or does her moral compass need some calibration? Even if she truly did not see anything wrong with keeping such company, is it not a reasonable thing to avoid some people if it makes your partner feel more secure? P.S., she has other male friends that I have no qualms about. We are great in a lot of other areas. We get along well, agree on finances, family life, faith, etc. But this problem keeps me up at night. Please help.
Just as a side note here, look at the name that he used on the email.
I just noticed that too. I saw that.
You see that?
Yep.
All right, well, Bert
Ask,
Mo.
It's Ask Bert. And Mo.
It's the name.
It's the name on the email. Huge red flags. Huge red flags for a couple of different reasons. A, she's lied to you. She's hidden things from you.
Yeah.
I don't know exactly what the definition here of inappropriate is, but if it's inappropriate behavior and he hit on her while they were at dinner and she continues to keep that door open, that's disrespectful.
It is.
And she is not respecting you at all by continuing that relationship, not listening to your wishes at all. I think you got a real problem.
Yeah, this would be a walk-awayable offense for me. The red flags are huge. The fact that she lied about it, the fact that she hid it from you, and the fact that she is claiming that there is no value to having this man in her life but still wants to hang on for some odd reason. Either she's lying or she really doesn't see the value in your relationship if she is willing to let that destroy the relationship or mess up the future. So for me, this would be a universal sign that as I'm thinking about proposing to her that maybe I shouldn't be with her at all.
There's no question that it's not right that she continued the relationship after you had gone to therapy and talked about it and agreed that it wasn't good. I do kind of feel for her in the sense that, like, as a girl, if you have a guy friend and they start, like, flirting with you and making passes at you, it already makes the dynamic weird. And it sort of feels like, well, it's not my fault that he's making these passes at me. Like, I enjoy 95% of our friendship. It's just the 5% where he's being a total weirdo. So if it really is just that, like, I feel for her in that sense, because I've been there where it's just annoying that, like, a guy has to mess up your friendship for that. But I do agree that it's a total messed up situation that when she said she was going to end it, she did end it.
But I wouldn't want to be friends with a guy that would be willing to jeopardize my relationship. Mm-hmm. Like, that's not a true friend. And all these red flags, like you said, the fact that this dude had sent inappropriate text on multiple occasions. She said she was going to block him and she never did. She hid the messages from the chats. He hit on her at a restaurant. Like, after all that, she should see that this dude is not, like, good for her. And if you want to preserve your relationship, you need to cut ties.
Even if there's nothing going on between the two of them, right? Yeah. She would never cross that line. The fact that she hasn't put a boundary up with this guy and made it serious speaks volumes about how she's going to handle relationships in the future. Run, dude. Or at least talk to her about it so this never happens again.
Agreed? I would take off.
You take off. You can't even get past this.
Nah.
The Bird Show.
Kristen grinds it out this morning. She's not feeling good. She's feeling like crap, actually, right? She called in yesterday, which Kristen never does, and guts it out, comes on in today. She's not feeling good. She's literally been coughing every 45 seconds.
I'm really sorry, by the way.
It's all right. But frankly, you look sick.
Probably because I am.
And today is the day the radio station scheduled a photographer to come in.
A videographer.
A videographer to run it, to come on in.
Hi, Dom. And what's up, Dom?
Hey, guys.
Got some B-roll of the Bird Show to put on the website.
Yeah.
But
no, no.
Damn. No. Life is hilarious, isn't
it? No, even better. So they need B-roll of everybody on all the stations so they can submit it to clients. Don't you want this representing your brand?
I'm assuming Sephora will sign up. really? maybe a couple of salons, some urgent cares, maybe.
Urgent cares. NyQuil.
There are a lot.
Yeah.
Sleep remedies.
Hey, thanks for coming in today.
It's my pleasure. We had a lot of stuff to do, and I did not want to leave you all hanging.
Entertainment buzz.
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Bird Show's entertainment buzz.
It was the comment heard across the world, across Bravo, at least across Twitter. Tom Sandoval said something during the Vanderpump Rules reunion. It's got women fired up. So, if for some reason you still don't know what this scandal is, Tom Sandoval of Vanderpump Rules, he cheated on his long-term girlfriend Ariana with her friend and fellow castmate Raquel. It's very dramatic. And so they're at this Vanderpump Rules reunion and they're talking about how Tom had sex with Ariana after cheating on her. And then sarcastically, Tom adds, yeah, she kept her t-shirt on the whole time. It was really hot. Very sarcastically.
Wow. This is the guy that he, or the girl that he cheated on, he said that about?
His girl, his long-term girlfriend, after he cheated on her, he went back to her, had sex with her, and apparently she had her t-shirt on and he was apparently not turned on by it. Okay. And made it very apparent to everybody. And the silence was deafening. If you've ever seen these reunions, it's just like back and forth, like meh, 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 meh. So for there to be any silence whatsoever, it's like harrowing.
So I can, you know, picture Andy Cohen, who is like the father of Bravo. And he always oversees these reunions. And so for Tom Sandoval to think it would be okay that he was cheating on his girlfriend of 9+ years, they had just bought a house together, right? Cheating on her with her best friend, nonetheless, and that he could get on there and say, yeah, well, you know, had sex with Ariana, but she kept her t-shirt on. You're actively sleeping with her best friend and you have the audacity to critique her in the bedroom. Have you lost your ever-loving mind?
Is it to a point with this guy? I have resisted the urge to watch 1 second of the show, even though you guys are making it very appealing because there's so much drama.
Well, it's over now. It's just in the reunions are always, I mean, that's the juicy stuff.
That's
now.
The best part, yeah. But even when you hear like all this drama, it makes you want to go back and watch past episodes just so you can get caught up for this kind of drama. I haven't done that. So has this dude always been the villain, or is he like embracing his villain character now on the show?
I feel like he's always had a little bit of like a, he's just kind of sketchy.
See, I don't know because I didn't watch the show.
At all?
No, I never, like, I was like a Real Housewives fanatic and like this spun off the Real Housewives. So you had Real Housewives of Beverly Hills with Lisa Vanderpump, and Lisa Vanderpump owned multiple restaurants and they took one of her restaurants and turned it into this show. And she's still like the matriarch and she's even part of like the reunion and still is in all these servers' lives. So I was at my I was at my max as far as reality TV goes. shows. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I'm watching Real Housewives of the OC, of Beverly Hills, of New York, of New Jersey, of Miami, of DC. Jeez. I'm like, I can't fit another one in. So I never started watching.
Here's a good show for you. How about The Real Life of Kristen?
Ooh.
And when you're not watching TV shows and you're really enjoying your life.
I gave those up years ago.
Yeah?
Yes. I told you guys. I came on here years ago. I gave up watching any Real Housewives. You actually watch more TV than I do.
Not a chance.
I guarantee you do.
Not a chance.
100%. I know you do.
No way.
Yes, you do.
Sound like a challenge to me.
How can we compare our Netflix and TV receipts? There's no chance.
You always come in here having watched stuff that I haven't had a chance to watch yet. I know you watch more TV than I do now.
How much do you have watched TV on the daily?
Now, I'm down to about an hour and a half a night, most nights. Last night was date night, and I had to stay home because Hollis was on the road. So it was a couple more hours than that, but probably 90 minutes a night.
Okay, I have an idea.
Wait, I want Kristen to answer.
I don't know. I mean, okay. It varies. It's not like I'm trying to think of an average. I watch TV after Jimmy goes to bed, but I don't watch it nearly as much as I used to. And I really honestly think you always seem to have watched more stuff than I have had a chance to watch.
We have got to find out.
We've got to get to the bottom of this.
This could be the best intervention I've ever had, if you're right.
You both have iPhones.
Yes.
You both have a stopwatch on your iPhones. So just think of television as every time you watch TV, mm-hmm. you have to clock in and clock out. And just keep that running timer.
Okay.
Stop it when you stop. But then, like, the next day, if you watch something else, start it back and pick it back up to where it was. I would say do it through the weekend and report back Monday
okay.
and see who's watched the most.
See, I feel like you're going to watch less TV now because it's a challenge than you might normally would.
Well, I don't know what you're talking about.
Right. 2 minutes, Crystal. 2 minutes.
You might be right.
Now, weekends aren't great for me. I don't really watch TV on weekends. So
I don't
you probably
either.
Get a better
Sports?
Snapshot during the week. If you're going to nail me, it's going to be me watching my team.
Because I'm more active with Jimmy now. We go out and we do, like, I have a kid that I have to pay attention to instead of the TV.
That's so old school thinking. All right, let's try it over the next couple of days.
And even if I'm watching TV with Jimmy, even if I'm watching episodes of Bluey, or if I'm watching live action Lion King or Blue Planet, I will still clock myself.
It is not even going to be close.
I want to believe.
And Bert, I'll come in there and show you how the stopwatch works.
For more stories, head to thebertshow.com. Click eBuzz.
The Bert Show.
Let me ask you guys if this is a stupid question.
Yes.
Well, that's good.
You already answered it. Because I see, we get these prep services. We can hear you, Tommy.
Your mic's on, Tommy. Thanks, man. Well-oiled machine, huh, Dom?
There you go, Dom. You're wondering if we ever feel pressure to be perfect? There you go. Absolutely not. So I see all these morning shows that are having this debate, and they keep reporting that this has been such a great debate on the air, and I'm looking at it going, what am I missing here? So let me just run this by you guys. Is lemonade considered a juice?
Yes.
No. Oh. Yeah, it's lemon juice.
Okay,
it's juice,
go.
Right?
No, it's a mocktail.
Maybe they're right. Here we go. Okay, I didn't think this was going to be any debate at all. Is lemonade a juice?
Yeah, it's the juice of a lemon.
Exactly.
No, the juice of a lemon is in the beverage, but right. It is concocted with sugar, maybe simple syrup if you want to get fancy.
Orange juice is the same way.
I'm about to say, isn't that
apple
every juice?
Juice is the same way.
No, because you
cranberry juice is the same way.
You can add things to your apple or cranberry juice, where you're saying that you do add it to lemonade.
You do add. There's so much additives. If you yes. look at the box of an apple juice, or there's a reason why Jimmy doesn't
drink. First of
all,
we don't appreciate your condescending attitude.
Now, would you?
I don't get passionate
she
about
talking
babies.
To y'all like y'all foolish.
I've never felt so belittled on this show before.
I may not get passionate about many things, but I get passionate about juice, by God. No, like if you look at the back of any package of like juice, especially kids' juices, apple, cranberry, orange, it is full of so many other things besides the juice of the actual fruit.
I do not consider, for me, for whatever reason, juice feels healthy.
It's not.
Apple
it's
juice.
Definitely not.
Yeah, I guess if you're buying the ones like, yeah, generically off the shelf that has sugar in it and all that.
Why do y'all see lemons as any different? I don't get it.
Okay, so here's my closing argument. So let's say you're going to make lemon chicken piccata. Are you going to add lemonade to it, or are you going to squeeze a lemon over the chicken?
I'm going to use a lemon.
Boom. So but lemonade is not a juice.
You don't use apple juice if you're making an apple pie.
But you wouldn't do that, period. But like if you were going to have like a taco and you wanted to squeeze some lime juice on it, you would squeeze the lime. You wouldn't put a limeade in your chicken.
But we're not talking about, but that's not juice. That's like in the recipe, it's like lemon or lime.
Yeah.
In this instance, if we're talking about beverages, like juices, like all the lineup of juices, I mean, they don't call it lemon juice because that would sound weird. But like if you're comparing it to what's in orange juice and what's in cranberry juice and what's in apple juice, lemonade would be constituted as a juice.
Am I really going to the phones for this? 1-855-PRO-SHOW. I literally read this and I said, this is what's wrong with morning radio, is that shows are debating this for 3 minutes and 15 seconds and it seems so stupid.
And here we are.
And here we are. And we can't figure it out. But I'm with Abby. I can't put my finger on it, but lemonade, it's not a juice.
If you go buy the little lemon squeeze thing in a restaurant, or a grocery store, don't they call that lemon juice?
They do.
Just like it's lime juice?
Yeah, but it's not lemonade.
It's not lemonade, right.
But you can still, if you can make a juice out of lemon, and if you squeeze a lemon and it becomes a substance that you drink, how is it not a juice? Then what is it?
I mean, yeah, they don't call it lemon juice, but I mean, you can use the juice of an orange on, you know, in recipes.
Right.
So to me, like if you're just talking about the juice of a fruit is different than the beverage juice. But if we're talking about looking at the beverages of juices, apple juice, cranberry
juice,
orange juice, lemonade is technically a juice.
But then why don't you just call lemon? Hey, I'll have a lemon juice. And it's and they bring you a lemonade. No.
It's not what it was called.
I don't know. Is a lemon drop not a candy? When does it stop?
Listeners are as superficial as we are. Good morning, Lisa. Is lemonade considered a juice?
It totally is not a juice.
There you go.
Yes!
Why?
and I'm going to pull the mom card. Kristen, if you go to the store, you'll see there's a bunch of juices for kids that say 100% juice. And on the back, especially if it's not concentrate, it'll be just apple. You can squeeze an apple and get apple juice. You can squeeze an orange and get fresh squeezed orange juice. But you cannot make lemonade with just lemon.
And she called you a bad mom. She said she was going to pull the mom card. She just said, you're a bad mom.
She did.
I'm a bad mom because I don't let my child drink juice. Because guess what? It's full of sugar.
All right, she said not juice, right?
Yeah. We lost our juice.
I got not juice, not juice, not juice.
Yeah.
It's not juice?
It says not juice.
I say it's a juice.
This is like
I wouldn't call it lemon juice,
right.
But I would say it's in the juice family.
That's what I thought.
This is like the conversation where I got, I told you guys about where I got in a fight with my friend about whether a Tootsie Roll was chocolate or not, which it's not.
It's not, is it?
It's not chocolate.
What is a Tootsie Roll then?
It's chocolate flavored, but it's not chocolate.
Yeah, I wouldn't consider, like, if I want a piece of chocolate, I'm not grabbing a Tootsie Roll. Because
right.
To me, that's not chocolate.
That's like those Kraft cheese slices are really not cheese either.
But Jimmy eats those.
So the chemicals are delicious.
It melts so good.
All right, we call it Follow-Up Thursday, and this one was explosive at the time, and I would be shocked if they were still together. Sandy gave us the reminder here, and she said, Bert, Kristen, Mo, and Abby, last November, you talked to a woman who found out her man was selling naked pics of her. I hope she left that idiot. Can you give me an update? Thank you, Sandy D.
You want me to do the recap? Am I still doing the recap?
Yeah, we got 5 minutes to kill.
We first heard from our listener last November. She and her fiance agreed that once their daughter was born, she would quit her job. 2 years later, they were not in the best financial situation, and she blamed herself for it. She started noticing her fiance going out often with the boys. She was upset because she knew they couldn't afford it, but he assured her that his friends were the ones buying him drinks. She believed him until she saw a text chain that proved he was the one paying for the drinks. Where was the extra cash coming from? Her naked photos. His co-workers, were paying him to see naked photos of her. This is making me get the all over again. Once she confronted him, he tried to flip the script on her by blaming her for their financial situation. We all agreed that she needed to take their child and leave him ASAP. Did she or did she not?
I've been meaning to send you a quick email to thank you for your advice and let you know what happened. First off, let me tell you, it's not been easy. I took your advice to heart and split from the man formerly known as my fiance. Me and our little one have been staying at my sister's place for a while. My sister has been so amazing for me and my daughter. Let me tell you, her house is like Disney World for my daughter. So many toys. She also has an amazing backyard with a play set, trampoline, and even a pool. My daughter is also loving all the time she gets to spend with her cousins. Oh, and guess what? I got a job.
Yay!
It's a remote one, which has made the transition back to work so much easier. My sister's letting us stay with her and refuses to accept any money from me. So it is allowing me to put most of my paycheck in the bank and get back on my feet. I've also been going to therapy. I was skeptical at first, but I think it's really been helping. I've got to work through it, but I'm getting there. It's a relief to have a professional to talk things out with. So that's my current situation in a nutshell. Thanks so much for checking in. It's always nice to know that someone is thinking about you.
Yeah, you can't rebound from something like that. The breach of trust there. Oh,
no way.
Ain't no way. If he's going to do that and think that's okay, there is no rebounding from it.
And I love the way she ends her letter with, it's always nice to know that someone is thinking about you. Yes, I love that mindset. Also, we're nosy AF.
There is that. It's the Burt Show.
Thanks for listening. Get more Burt Show fix at thebirdshow.com or follow us on social media at The Burt Show.